good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We are having a little fun time here in the studio. The last couple weeks, we have been going over Acts, the chapter 5, and Tara storied it. It's this, the Bible study is called Tell It Well, and it was birthed from Tara Rye, and it's amazing how every chapter she tells the story without even looking at anything. So praise God for her obedience to storytell.
Well, you know, some of it I get, some of it I don't. It's not, you know, I'm doing the best I can.
Yep.
There are greater experts at telling than I am. But
you're doing what God's called you to do, and that's all that matters. So praise the Lord. Yeah. And the last week we talked about 3 points, what the enemy tries to do to, just as the example of Ananias and Sapphira, which is the beginning story of chapter 5, book of Acts, how the enemy will propose an idea. And then number 2, he'll purpose in your heart to agree. And that's kind of like where we're going to start today with the question that Peter had asked Ananias. Why did you purpose that in your heart?
Yeah. And you know, why do we, anytime we take that step towards sin, why do we allow it to get to a point where we get so persuaded that we make an agreement with our heart with the enemy of God?
It's a pride thing.
Oh my goodness.
It is such a pride thing. That's all I can, God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble.
I know.
We think we can manage. No one's looking. I can do it.
Do you know, I've really been meditating and pondering this for the last 2 days because I'm writing on actually the book of Ruth. And one of the things that I just been thinking about, it's like, you know, if we were just to ask the average Christian on the street, you know, do you want to do the will of God? Do you agree with God's will? I think every single person would say yes. What a stupid question. Of course I want God's will. But when you examine our actions, do our actions and our words actually reflect that I want to do the will of God? And I mean, that's what it always comes down to, the word and the deed, and the word and deed, they reveal what is inside me, and they reveal what I really believe. And belief in that, you know, we're supposed to be good, kind, gracious, gentle, you know, self-controlled, belief in that is good. But until that belief becomes a conviction that causes me to take an action, I don't own it.
Mm.
I don't own it. And that is a scary thought, because I think that if we took it a step further and then asked, do your words and deeds reflect that you want to agree with God? I think many would say yes. But then as we started asking questions, reality would not reflect the truth of that thought. So what happens in that moment where there's a disconnect between what we say we want and what we do? What is it that has that barrier that has caused us? What happened in Ananias and Sapphira where he just wants to give? I mean, he's given to the church. He's doing a good thing. And there's no rule about how much he's supposed to give. They held all things in common. I mean, he didn't have to sell his land. Nobody told him to. But a disconnect happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so what he wanted all of a sudden came out in action in a different form. And I know I can do this. Anybody have this happen. And so we have to ask ourselves, what is it that causes that break? I mean,
I just think the verse came to mind. What is it for a man to profit the world and lose a soul, or gain the world and lose a soul?
Yeah.
It's because of the appearances and keeping up with appearances and pleasing people that we don't like.
I know.
Job, you know, it's just that I want everyone to think I have it all together and that I am the perfect Christian. In our minds, I don't know why we do that to ourselves, because we fear man more than we fear God.
I know, it's kind of crazy. I have noticed this a lot, and I don't know. I think it's probably the sanguines. I would have to look and study this completely. But when you sit in a Bible study group, there are certain people that aren't afraid to tell you all their sins.
Yeah.
And then there's a group that you're like, man, that person's never sinned, because they would never share that story.
Right.
Because, one, it's their personality. I don't think it's that they care that people know their sin. I think certain personalities are more apt to tell it.
And tell it well.
Yeah, Lord, help us. But what happens is that certain things occur in our lives because God wants to use the circumstances surrounding us. And I think we can use our circumstances to show us how to really reflect God, or we can use our circumstances to reflect ourselves. I mean, that's what it always comes down to. And, you know, that passage in 1 Corinthians where it talks about, you know, I look in the mirror and I see dimly, and I want to see the bright. I want to see the light. I want to see that the reflection that's coming back at me is God. And that's what we're asking when we say, let's look into the heart. Let's look into our hearts and see. Because we have to be where we come to a place in order for us to be a proclaimer of truth, where when we look in the mirror, what we see is what's inside. Because what's in the heart is what comes out. The heart is the wellspring of life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's extremely crucial. I'd like for us to look up a verse, Sabrina, if you would do me a favor, and look up 1 Corinthians 11, and I want us to read verse 28 and verse 30. Scripture is very clear and tells us that a man ought to examine his heart.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to examine himself. And it's extremely important that we do this, that we are not to test the Spirit of God. And I'm going to turn to Deuteronomy 6, verse 16, for those that are following, if you
First
want.
1 Corinthians 11, what verse?
Verse 28.
Okay.
And 30 are the two verses I'm going to have you read. But I'm going to read for us Deuteronomy 6, verse 16, for those that would like to follow along. I know some of you are listening by podcast, and we're so glad that you do. I'm just going to say hello. My sister-in-law, Kathy, listens in Austin.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
I was going to do a Texas accent, but I didn't.
Y'all, it's so good that you're down there just listening on the radio like that. We just love it.
Tara can do that well because she's a Texan.
I've been in Texas.
I'll end up doing an English accent. Well, we're
good. You could do Bronx. Okay, I'm going to read first Deuteronomy 6, verse 16. It says, "Do not test the Lord your God as you did Massa." Okay, and then it goes into saying in 17, "Be sure to keep the commands of the Lord your God and the stipulations and decrees he has given you. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, that it may go well with you, and you may go in and take over the good land that the Lord promised and on oath to your forefathers, thrusting out all your enemies before you, as the Lord said." What a great promise. Because if we obey God, it goes well. It goes well. Okay, Sabrina, would you read for us why we want to examine ourselves?
1 Corinthians 11, 27, and then verse 30.
28.
28, and then verse 30.
Mm-hmm.
"A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep."
Hmm. Okay. We actually hurt ourselves physically when we don't take time to take care of ourselves spiritually. That's amazing.
And you see that over and over again. I mean,
there's
my friend is a nurse, and she said there's been more diseases that have been linked with stress and just people overdoing it and not giving any time to themselves with the Lord.
Yeah.
And why is, I mean, you can see it happening. Yes. Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among nations. I will be exalted among my people."
Okay, now I got to tell you something. That's my verse I'm claiming for this year. I don't know that you know that, do you?
I didn't know that.
That's hilarious.
The Holy Spirit did, though.
I love it. You know, for this whole year, I don't know if you've ever, let's just give this challenge. We do this every year, and let's just do it. And even though we're into January already, if you have not ever thought of, you know, people do the New Year's resolution thing, but, you know, what's with that? Spiritually is where it happens. Spiritually,
Amen.
Drawing near to God is where change and life transformation, impact, is where resolutions really occur. And many years ago, a long, long time ago, God convicted me and put on my heart, take a verse and claim it for a year. I've been amazed by the things that God has shown me through doing this. And typically he gives me my verse in October or November. So there's usually an overlap of my two verses. And last year was praying love, and in particular, love takes no offense. Oh my goodness, last year I was challenged. I had more anger in my heart last year than you could possibly ever imagine. Lord really showed me I needed to learn that. This year he is telling me that I need to learn to be still and know that he is God. And to watch him be exalted. It's about him being exalted. And essentially what happened is Ananias and Sapphira purposed in their heart to have them be exalted. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, when we make that choice, when we start listening to the proposal that is presented to us to go forward in a temptation towards sin, the exaltation we are looking at, lifting up, is self. Mm-hmm. It's us.
Ugh.
And we just read that, you know, it can bring illness upon us. That's not good since I'm sitting here talking to you with bronchitis.
no.
But it also is, we're told that when we obey his commands, that blessings, it goes well. It goes well for you mm-hmm. who obey. And, you know, this is a crucial thing, is that when we examine ourselves spiritually before God, and Ananias made a decision without examining himself before God. And this comes down to a question. I know oftentimes when I teach this particular passage with women's groups, women will say, but I'm told I'm supposed to obey my husband. And then here is an ethical question for you. Are we to obey our husbands unto sin? No.
No.
Because ultimate authority, God, is who we answer to first. You don't answer to anyone towards sin, even your spouse. You have to stand up for what is righteousness. And that is a hard thing when you're in a house that mm. where you have one who seeks the Lord and one who does not.
Right. So then just a side question. I've been asked, if my husband doesn't go to church, should I stay home with him? Because not going to church is not necessarily, that's not a sin.
Well, what about the
sin of fellowship?
It says, do not forsake the gathering mm-hmm. togethers in worship. If I had not heard the word, I would not have known I had sinned. It is by the hearing of the word that I was changed.
Right.
It's God's word and it's fellowship. It's a command. And then what about the passage that says it's by the testimony of your life that he will know you?
Mm-hmm.
Know the Lord. You know, I can't answer to any single person or to any single circumstance.
Okay.
But I can tell you
what the word of God says.
We cannot put one person's rules over what the word of God says.
Okay, that's great. That's perfect. Thank you.
I mean, and that's where we end up messing up. We make a portion of what scripture says, you know, obey your husbands, wives, you know, submit to your husbands. We've made that the law over the whole counsel of the word of God. And that's where you have to be real careful. You have to be real careful, because if that's the case, then, you know, obey your husband. You take that in one area, you have to take it across all areas. And it's, you know, the submission to a husband is that he's lifting you up, you, as Christ lifts up the church. Honestly, if he was doing that, he wouldn't be asking us to do something contrary to the word of God. But if it puts us in an abusive situation, is God going to ask us to place ourselves in a circumstance with the person we're married to if it's going to cause us to be harmed?
No.
No. So do you see? I can't answer that question to a specific person.
Is that in your study anywhere?
No.
Okay.
Because my study is about speaking the gospel.
Okay.
It's about proclaiming. But, you know, we go where the Spirit leads, and that came up, so we needed to address it. Mm-hmm. And that's what we would do. And, you know, in a small group setting, if it came up, we would stop and we would dialogue about that, because that's what you're supposed to do. We speak to where we're at. But the goal is to get us to the point with Tell It Well, to where we're not afraid to communicate the word of God. And that comes out of a life that is
authentic.
Thank you.
I'll be your speaker.
My cold has messed up my ability to speak. And, you know, guarding ourselves. Because what happens, Bible Knowledge Commentary when they ask the question, so, okay, how does one test the Spirit of God? And so, you know, because that's huge. That's like, you know, am I testing the Spirit of God by doing this choice or this choice? And they wrote out a couple of things that, you know, people do when they're testing the Spirit of God. And I thought, this is hilarious. And they're really almost kind of funny, but it's really serious. It's right. Just my sense of humor is messed up. They say that oftentimes it's because we just want to see how much we can get away with. Really, honestly and truly, if you think about it, isn't it that we're pushing the boundaries?
Absolutely, of grace.
And so right there with the whole submit to your spouse, it's really just an excuse for the most part, honestly and truly. Yeah. Instead of being a testimony, it's that we're an excuse. We're using it as an excuse. The other thing that they said is the reason why people will test the Spirit of God or work towards it is it's we presume upon God. We're putting our presumptions. God would never do that to me. God's a God of love. But we eliminate the fact that God is also a God of wrath.
Yeah.
And he is a jealous God, and he is jealous for our righteousness. You know, and so we can't take half of God and not have the other half. He is the lion and the lamb. Okay? And, you know, quite honestly, I don't want the lamb without the lion. I like the fact that our God is a lion.
Oh,
and I love the fact that he is a lamb. I want them both. I don't want half. You don't want to go half on God.
Right.
Don't presume upon God.
I've heard such a great analogy of going to a doctor and you don't want, you go in there to see if you have cancer and your doctor says, well, you know, I really don't want to tell you the truth because I don't want to hurt your feelings, you know? And then you have the other doctor that is going to say, you know what? This is the situation. This is what's going to happen. You have cancer. I'm sorry, but we need to treat it
right
rather than not telling you the truth. I mean,
yeah.
It's God. God is going to give you the truth.
Yeah.
And so anyways, that's what kind of God I want.
Amen.
That's going to give me truth and love.
I'm with you. The other test that they said we put towards God is that we want to see if he'll perform his word. Will he really do what he says he'll do? And essentially that is what Satan has done with Ananias and Sapphira. Are you really working here? Do you really want your church pure? And the fourth one is that we want to see how far we can stretch his level of judgment. And this makes me think of the teenager coming home 30 minutes after curfew. Am I really going to get in trouble? You know, how much can I stretch and see I can get away with before the judgment of God comes? You know, discipline will come. For Ananias and Sapphira, it was swift. It was death. Because the early church had to learn a lesson. God wanted them to be pure, to be holy as he is holy. And we need to examine ourselves and look in our hearts and say, you know, what am I purposing in my heart and who am I agreeing with? And as I am agreeing, am I agreeing both in word and in deed? Can it be seen in the way I walk my walk?
Right.
We're so glad you've been listening to Cultivating Hearts. We just thank God for you. You need to come back next week because next week we're going to look at the last aspects of Acts 5. God bless you.